World's a better place because you are here to join us. My name is Matt Brown, and I am the host of the Productive Conversations podcast. And we're going to continue with our great tradition of making great content here in the sports world. We, you know, what was it? Beginning of last year, TKO announces the big merger between the UFC and the WWE.
That was big.
And the first 2 weekends in April is theirs to own. First, we had our WrestleMania coverage of Productive Conversations, and we're going to follow suit and now cover the other side of TKO and cover UFC 300. So a great time here on Productive Conversations, and we have the best opinion maker in the world of UFC. He is the other producer on the Productive Conversations podcast. Dolo Ren is here on the other side tonight. Dolo, you and I talking UFC. What's going on, brother?
My guy, my brother, what's going on, man? How you been?
My brother Dolo, I've been good. You know, hanging in there. I mean, you and I talk every day on growing our platform together and this brand. And now I'm very excited to have you back on the other side today and talking all things UFC for their monumental event. So what's up with you?
Nothing much, man. I mean, you're right. We do talk basically every day. So, like, I kind of already know what's up with you. I already know how you've been. So, like, I mean, it's same old, man. Same old, you know, just getting by, you know. That finally put out some predictions I did on my channel. So, you know, had a little editing mess that I didn't even tell you about, a little technical mess. But, you know, keeping the ball rolling, you know. Been off the grid for a little while, you know, just working. Keeping my head down, you know, doing my producer thing, but we here, UFC 300, man. We, you know, we covered, what was the card we covered last time? 292, right?
Yes, 292 is the last one.
292. Yeah.
And we're back here for their, I guess you'd say their tricentennial big deal, the 300th edition, the 300th pay-per-view event for UFC. And just as I am a growing MMA fan and trying to learn more about the UFC, is it called an event? Like, just to make sure, I don't want to upset anyone. Oh. It is a UFC event.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Matt, you're in good hands. Don't trip, bro. You're in good hands. Yes, it is an event. The numbered events are really always kind of a big event. But the 100s, like you said, the tricentennial, I actually never heard anyone use that word. So kudos. But
you know what it is about being productive here.
Absolutely.
So,
but yes, man. Like,
just to hold your thought, if you don't mind. And I have right here. This is the 300th. This is the 300th pay-per-view event in UFC. Three full decades of this great promotion. Obviously, making MMA the thing it is here in the mainstream. And it's also a celebration of how far the company has come. So as I show you here, sharing the screen, we have the 300th poster here. I could see Brock Lesnar there. Who are some of these guys here? And also the 200th one and 300th.
Brock Lesnar again, if you look. Yeah,
there
Brock Lesnar was at 200 as well. Yep. And there's actually a fighter. I'll get to these fighters on the posters in a second, but there's actually a fighter named Jim Miller that has fought at 100, got a win at 100, fought at 200, got a win, and he's going to be fighting Bobby Green at UFC 300. So props to Jim Miller, man. He's not a guy that's talked about a lot, but we'll talk about him a little more later. But yeah, man, pretty legendary stuff. So UFC 100, you see Brock Lesnar. You know, when he came to the UFC, that was a big deal. Like, honestly, UFC 100, July 11th, dang, what was that, like 2008? That was a long time ago. Like, UFC 100, that was around the time when I even started getting into, like, fighting at all. So, you know, but obviously you could see, like, GSP right next to Brock Lesnar, I believe, was GSP. And they had Dan Henderson there. They had Michael Bisping there. A lot of big names, man. A lot of big names and a lot of fights you got to catch up on too, Matt. But don't worry, we'll get you caught up to a lot of fights. But yeah, man, UFC 100 was pretty legendary. They had a guy named John Fitch. You know, he's a fan favorite. But UFC 100, that was, I would say that might have been around the time that Chuck Liddell was like maybe retiring. I'm still iffy on that timeline because like I remember UFC 200 vividly, but like UFC 100, we were still in high school. You know what I mean? We had a lot of other things going on. So, but man, yeah, UFC 100, that was like, that's like that roster you saw. A lot of people. What can I compare it to? You could compare it to like old school wrestling, where you know a lot of these newer guys like they can never understand how it really was when Stone
like
Cold Steve Austin.
A generation gap, if you will.
Yes, a generation gap. It's one of those things, and that you know, there's some people that revered those guys like around that UFC 100 era. They revere those guys as like the goats, like the pioneers of Mount Rushmore's. Like GSP's still considered the goat, and I'll get into that later. Believe me, I'll get into GSP later. But yeah, UFC 100. That's like a coveted event right there with like a coveted roster. And Brock Lesnar, when he came into the listen, man, like I don't watch a lot of pro wrestling, but what Brock Lesnar was able to do, crazy. Crazy.
Generational
came
athlete
in.
For a reason.
Man, generational athlete. That's one way to describe him for sure.
So also tell me, Dolo, you know, we have here in 100 in this original generation, and not to cut you off, but I was wondering how that transitions to 200 and how does it compare to 300? And it seems I would assume these big eras of the UFC and what it's grown into. Can you tell me how they all compare to each other to get to this point for their 300th event?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. So, like, yeah, UFC 100, that's when, I guess you could say around that time era, people still looked at, even now today, people do still look at it as a blood sport. But, you know, at that time, there was literally, like Nevada, the state of Nevada is probably one of the only states that like sanctioned MMA fights, specifically the UFC. So around the UFC 100 time, they weren't doing like huge arenas like they do today. You know, they weren't doing Madison Square Garden back then. They weren't doing like the numbers that they're doing now. They didn't have a Conor McGregor that blew up the sport, you know, to international heights. And this is like before Anderson Silva's reign too. So that's when the Brazilian fans kind of came in, and then, you know, but the Brazilian fans have been there from the start because of, you know, Royce Gracie with the jiu-jitsu. And like back then, like way in the beginning of the UFC, it was no weight classes. So, you know, the Brazilian fan base was always there. Yeah, it was crazy, nuts. But how do y'all compare? Like, yeah, so by UFC 200, John Jones was a thing. John Jones was a thing, still considered in many people's eyes the GOAT,
like the true
with GOAT. Basically like in a competitive sense, like when you walked into the octagon and you put skill set, you know, height, reach to reach, and you know, just the actual sport itself. Like, yeah, people still consider John Jones like untouchable. He might still, like, outside of the cage, he might be the most dangerous man on the planet, other than like soldiers and stuff, if I'm keeping it real. But yeah, by UFC 200, they had bigger names, and you know, Brock Lesnar made a surprise return. That was actually a surprise. People didn't really expect that, and that's where the hate for Ariel Helwani comes from for Dana White. Dana White actually hates Ariel Helwani from UFC 200 and onwards, up until this day, because Ariel Helwani actually spilled the beans on Brock Lesnar's return for UFC 200. And Dana White just basically was like, you're cut from the company. You ruined the surprise. That messed up endorsements. That messed up a lot of things. So there was a lot of drama around UFC 200. And, you know, John Jones was supposed to fight, but then he got popped for drugs and then for steroids. And yeah, there was a lot of drama around 200. But by that point, the sport was becoming way more established, and it was already evolving. And now that we're at UFC 300, it's kind of bittersweet because it really could have been a better card. It really could have been. And I don't want to complain too much about what we got, you know, like, because to be honest, man, like, There's a lot of former champions on this card. Like so many former champions. You know, you got Jamahal Hill fighting, you got Jiří Procházka fighting, you got Alex Pereira, that's the current champion. Like those are all in the same weight class right there.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's pretty crazy. And then you got Aljamain Sterling that lost, that actually, you know, Sean O'Malley, the big star right now in that weight class and bantamweight. He had the belt before Sean O'Malley. Now he's fighting on the card. Cody Garbrandt had a belt. Davison Figueiredo, he had a belt. Like literally, like Holly Holm, the first girl that knocked out Ronda Rousey, she's here. She's on UFC 300. That's a nice surprise. Like as a, you know, she's got to be a fan favorite. If she's not a fan favorite, then I don't know who would be. Like, yeah, there's a
Only for the
lot
real
of former.
ones.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, man. Like a lot of former champions, people that have touched gold. So many fighters are gonna be here. And apparently at the press conference, like every fighter that's fighting at UFC 300 is gonna be at the press conference. So it's gonna be a lot of champion caliber people in that room that day. And it's just we're UFC 300, like by this point, UFC is global now. It's, you know, we just saw Benoit Saint Denis fight Dustin Poirier, and you know, the whole all of France loves Benoit Saint Denis. And forgive me if I'm not saying his first name right, but either way, like, you know, we got French fans now. You know, Conor brought the Irish fans, we got the Brazilians, we got the Georgian Spaniards from Ilia Topuria, we got the Nigerians with Israel Adesanya, who I'm very upset that he's not on the card, but we'll get to that. Man, it could have been, you know, it could have been a better card with given the people that were originally supposed to be there. But with what we got, man, and with where the UFC is at right now, it's just it should be a good card. Like a lot of people didn't like that Padilla and Jamahal Hill were headlining. But at this point, it's like, you know, Padilla is like one of the best fighters that's ever stepped into the octagon in any era. So, you know, just to see him fighting is going to be awesome. Like, this is a star-studded event. A lot more celebrities are involved in the UFC now. We got more, what do you call them, influencers. You know, like, we just saw Aiden Ross, like, spar Sean O'Malley yesterday. And, like, you know, like, stupid things like that. You know, the guy Sneeko, the streamer Sneeko, was sparring with Sean Strickland. Like, so many people from outside of the fight culture are coming into the UFC. And by this moment, like, this is the biggest UFC's ever been. So, you know, it's a good thing for MMA. And it's going to be a really good event, to be honest. Oh,
I feel that.
Also, my bad. Max Holloway got his floral shorts, y'all. He got his floral shorts. We're all set. Like, yeah, he got his wish. So, you know, UFC's doing a good thing right now. Just wanted to add that in there. Just wanted to add that in there.
I like that. Now, before going into specific matches, so let me just show you. We have the actual card here. As now, look at this as a whole, Dolo. Here at the UFC 300 card, right?
Yeah, that's the card. That's what we ultimately got. Yes,
so,
we got.
Yep. Dolo, as a whole, before we go to specific matches, do you feel Dana White did what he had to do to satisfy the fans with this card amongst the injuries you mentioned?
Yeah. Honestly, I believe he did. You know, with Padilla versus Hill, the problem is, and we'll get into that, but, you know, Jamahal Hill has been laid off for like a year and a half with an ACL injury. If anybody watches basketball or literally any other sport, you know how serious the ACL injury is. So it was, you know, I even texted you, Matt, that day where I was like, yo, this is some BS. Like, why they got this headlining as the main event? This is crazy. But I mean, by this point, it's like, who else was Padilla going to fight? He wasn't going to fight Adesanya. You know, like, he's already in the next weight class. Adesanya just lost his belt. So, like, you know, and he was supposed to fight DDP on the card, which was supposed to happen, but DDP didn't want to do it. Dricus Duplessis, by the way, that's short by DDP. But yeah, like, yeah, so Padilla, like, they had to put him in there with someone, and Jamahal Hill had the belt before, so it's fair enough. Then you got Zhang Weili and Yan Xiaonan. Like, when you're talking about women's MMA, those two are like, they got to be in the top at least eight. Zhang Weili in the top three, top four, maybe top two at this point. Because Joanna Jędrzejczyk, I can't say her name for the life of me, but she's retired, you know. And Yan Xiaonan, she's like an up and coming person. Like, I predicted her fight right last time for 292. I actually predicted her victory last time she was out. So, you know, I like her as a fighter. But it's just cool to see the Chinese, you know, like China's in the house type of thing, you know. Like, you know, it's cool. Like, that's another country that's, you know, that's involved in the UFC now, that they've been able to bring fans from. And cool thing, you know, Gaethje, Max Holloway, there's a weight discrepancy there, but Max Holloway was okay with it because he's basically fought everybody from like Conor McGregor to Volkanovski, like literally fought everybody. So that's going to be a banger regardless, no matter how you slice it and dice it. Davison Figueiredo, Cody Garbrandt, you know, two guys that had belts there in like it's like a crossroads fight for them too. Because, you know, depending on who wins, one could go this way and the other could go that way.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's a lot of, there's honestly going to be some good fights here. And then Calvin Kattar, he's always a good fighter. Aljamain Sterling, like I mentioned before, like, yeah, it's going to be some fireworks here. It's going to be some fireworks.
Looking forward to it. Now, one more thing to discuss before we get into the card. You mentioned John Jones, obviously a legend in UFC, but he recently got into some trouble a few days ago. So, Dolo, you have right here. Here on a report from NBC News, UFC heavyweight champion John Jones is arrested based on allegations that he assaulted and threatened to kill a drug testing agent, police say. Dolo, what are your thoughts on this, the best to ever do it in UFC and John Jones getting in trouble the week of the big UFC? Excuse me. Dolo, tell me your thoughts on John Jones getting in trouble just a week before UFC 300.
He was supposed to be on the card. Like, literally, John Jones has, like, literally, he's fought, like, maybe twice since 2020. He's literally fought twice since 2020, bro. And
it's a long time.
Absolutely. Arguably ducked Francis Ngannou, who has since fought Tyson Fury and got knocked out by AJ, which I made a video about on my channel. John Jones was supposed to fight either Stipe Miocic, or he could have defended the belt and gave Tom Aspinall the number one ranked heavyweight that's up and coming, you know, the next one in line for the title, really. You know, they could have did that fight, but I guess John Jones didn't want to, and you know, and he's done this before. Like, you know, he was supposed to be a fill-in for Chael Sonnen like a long time ago. No. He was supposed to fight Chael Sonnen a long time ago before he actually did, but then he denied, then he turned it down and Dana White was mad about him. He's done this before. Like, they'll give John Jones offers for fights and he'll just say no to them. And you know, I guess it's how you stay goat, right? You kind of play on your own terms. That makes sense. He's pretty much a disgrace to MMA. I would say for sure. I mean, even Sean Strickland said it to the Schmo, you know, like a few weeks ago when the Schmo was interviewing him. It's a subjective reality. We're talking about, you know, because there's, you know, some things are subjective, right? And that's the goat discussion. It is subjective because somebody could say Khabib's the GOAT because he never lost, right? Somebody could say GSP's the GOAT because he beat everybody that he fought. Even if he lost to Matt Serra the first time and beat him in a rematch, he beat every single person he fought. You know, you could say Conor McGregor's the first person to get two belts, and, you know, to have a belt in two divisions at the same time. That's subjective. But what's not subjective, right? Police records, police camera footage, reports coming from testers that John Jones threatened them when they showed up to do their job and collect a sample to test for drugs. What's not subjective is the fact that his wife, after he got inducted into the Hall of Fame, his wife ended up calling the police that same night, saying that she needed protection. And when the police came, she had a bloody nose and a bloody mouth and said she didn't want to go near John Jones. He needs help. What's not subjective is before all of that, when he did a hit and run on a pregnant girl. And literally, when I say hit and run, he crashed, jumped out the car with money and weed and coke and literally ran. Like, John Jones is objectively a garbage human being. And I'm standing on my square right now saying it. It's Dolo Ren saying it on the Productive Conversations podcast. John Jones is a complete garbage human being. And see this coke can right here?
Yes, and for those listening, he's showing a coke can.
Yes, I'm showing a coke can. This has a lot of significance to John Jones and some of his faults, I guess you could say. Because when he finally did face Chael Sonnen, Chael Sonnen was telling us that he knew secrets about John Jones, that if we knew, we wouldn't like him. And at their face-off, it was either the weigh-in or the face-off. It was either one of those. Chael Sonnen came, you know, with a Coca-Cola t-shirt. And it said, have a Coke or let's enjoy Coke or something. Now, subliminally, he was telling us before anyone even knew, before John Jones admitted it on the Joe Rogan Show podcast, way before that happened, Chael Sonnen was already telling us who John Jones was. Because, you know, the MMA communities are tight-knit. They know a lot about each other. And, he's been, like, you know, someone that's abused drugs, abused alcohol. And now that time has gone by, it's finally catching up to him. And now people see it. And I think UFC 300 happening around this time is actually, like, it's kind of poetic if you think about it. Because he was supposed to be there. And instead of him fighting, instead of us hearing about you, him being on the card, we hear about John Jones threatening to kill a drug tester. I probably should have said unalive. Threatening to unalive a drug tester. Dang, should have said that before. So yeah, it's kind of poetic when you think about it. And yeah, we didn't need him. We did not need him for 300. I'm glad John Jones has reminded us all of how much of a garbage person he is. And when I think about somebody like John Jones, it makes me feel so much better about my life. Because, you know, we all have, you know, our faults, and we all, you know, maybe didn't achieve certain things we wanted in life. But at least we're not John Jones. So
an example you don't have to learn by or repeat, but it is sad to see, but it's time to move on to some other things. Let's get to this card once and for all. And the big, big matches on here. So first match we want to discuss, Mr. Ren. We have Alex Pereira, the light heavyweight champion, taking on Jamahal Hill, who people say is the number one lightweight, even though he's been out for a year and a half. Talk to me, Dolo, about this match, the champion versus somebody making a big comeback.
Yeah, and Jamahal Hill can capitalize on this as a big comeback. He can make this the biggest comeback ever in UFC history, if we're being honest. If we feel like his ACL can withstand the champion caliber kickboxing leg kicks and sweeps that Pereira is going to put on him, if his leg doesn't snap like a twig, yeah, this could be one of the biggest comebacks ever, ever. He's set up for greatness. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to act like Jamahal Hill is not set up for greatness right now. He's kind of set up for an L too. Because, like, you know, they needed a spot to fill in. They needed Pereira to fight somebody. And who else, you know, Jamahal Hill says, oh, you know, I'm clear. You know, I want to fight at UFC 300. I want to be part of history. Put me in there with Pereira. Balls. Like, Jamahal Hill has cojones, like big balls to, your first fight coming back, you're fighting a guy like Pereira. And for people that don't know, Alex Pereira used to be a kickboxing champion. He knocked out Adesanya twice before he came to the UFC. No. He knocked out Adesanya once before the UFC and beat him on the decision. So, he's a lot different than somebody that just walked into an MMA gym and just started learning everything. Like, he's been a champion way before the UFC.
Real and, scrapper, if you will. True fighter.
Yeah, those Brazilian guys, they call him Hands of Stone. They don't call him Hands of Stone for no reason. And, you know, and these Brazilian guys have a long history in just the fight game in general. So, but, you know, you got to kind of question it because, I should say that this fight might actually not happen. Jamal Hill could literally, the doctor could not clear him to, like, before the fight happens. And then just like with UFC 200, we get a DC versus Anderson Silva situation because DC was supposed to fight John Jones at UFC 200. But John Jones got popped for drugs, for steroids, and then DC ended up fighting Anderson Silva. This could happen here. I'm gonna be honest. Like, you know, I already know how this fight is gonna go if or when it happens, but it could very well be the case that this fight gets scrapped and then Pereira fights somebody else. But to talk about, to talk about Pereira's skill set real quick, you know, he's a guy to give it to you, like he's a guy that literally came into the UFC and won two belts, a belt in two divisions each, in seven fights in the UFC. Now think of a guy like Tony Ferguson, right? That has like over like, I don't know how many fights Tony Ferguson had. He had a 12 fight win streak at one point. You know, he's lost like seven. He's on a seven losing streak right now. Someone like Tony Ferguson has at least 30 fights. Or up to 30 fights and never touched a title. So that just puts in perspective how special Pereira is. But the guy is like fast with his hands. Pereira is really fast with his hands. He's 6'9", 6'9", 74-inch reach. And yeah, just a hell of a kickboxer. When he fought Prochaska, who's also on UFC 300 as well, he was kicking his legs out like super easy, super easy. And Prochaska was coming from a layoff too, so that's kind of funny. They're feeding Pereira these guys that are coming off of layoffs, but that are legit contenders. So it's a really interesting situation. But Pereira is just super strong, super fast, super technical with the striking. But we're now to talk about Jamal Hill. Jamal Hill is kind of got it all. He's had about 12 or 15 fights in a very short span. He's been able to rise up through the rankings in the UFC and touched the belt, touched gold at one point. And he got the belt from the guy that trains with Pereira right now, which could be, you know, which could help him if who's Glover, which is Glover Teixeira. That's who Jamal Hill had gotten the belt from before Pereira had it. And I know it sounds confusing because it is confusing. Like the light heavyweight division has been a mess. But either way, Pereira's champion right now. And Jamal Hill, he's a guy that's just a hell of a kickboxer himself. You know, he's a guy that has one punch power, like one punch knockout power. And that's something that Pereira, he sort of has. He could put your lights out in a punch or two, but Jamal Hill is a special. He's a guy that could just really has that touch of death with his hands. And, for a big guy, he can land kicks like a Taekwondo fighter, like to the middle, to the top, to the legs. Like he could kick. He'll be able to strike with Pereira, but you know, in a normal sense. And he's a guy that's developed his game throughout the years. He's got a ground game. If it goes to the ground, he could wrestle with you. He could find positions, you know, jiu-jitsu positions, and you know, get on top and pass guard and do things like that. But it's just not fair, man. Like ultimately, like, To be fair, it's just not fair. Like, you know, Jamal Hill is fighting one of the best calf and leg kickers that ever entered the UFC. And he's coming off a ACL injury after a year and a half of inactivity. And I wish I could show you the video, but recently before I got on camera, I saw a video of Jemal Hill meeting Padilla so that he could sign his hoodie. He's like, you know, I know we're about to go to war, but you know I'm a fan, so I want you to sign my hoodie. Like, he's getting knocked out. Like, when I saw that video, I'm like, no, 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 no. He's getting knocked out. There's no way that you just ask for an autograph from the man that you're about to go to war with that has the belt. You should, like, that shouldn't be the mentality that you're coming in with, especially with a fragile ACL. Like, no. Alex Pereira is going to win. You can, I go for the money line, but if you want to go for greatness, that prop bet you want to add to it, first round knockout.
First round knockout, just going for it right away.
Yeah,
is that gonna be your bold hot take? Is this, you don't happen to have the odds for that, do you?
Ah, no. But we could pull it up real quick if you'll give me 1 second, because I
very,
have
very quick.
I have some parlays, you know, because you know, you know how we do, Matt. We didn't come to partake. We came to parlay. So we're putting our money on the line with this one. So let me give you the odds real quick. Very quickly.
For the first round knockout specifically.
First round knockout. Oh, for the first round knockout, I do not know. I do not know. But I could at least tell you the money line. Sorry, hold on. Yeah. So Alex Pereira is a minus 140 for the money line, at least.
Okay.
For the first round knockout, I do not know. I do not know. Let me see. I could tell you that his it's actually a plus 135 that Alex Pereira will win by knockout. So not exactly first round. I'm pretty sure there's like a prop bet for that. But yeah, you could just go ahead and if you don't find the first round prop bet, if it's not on your app or whatever you're using, you could just straight up go Alex Pereira by knockout. And you know, that's a plus 135. And I'm very, very confident in it. And I like Jemal Hill. I really do. I really, really do. He's a guy that plays basketball on his off time, you know? And like, you know, it's something I can relate to. You know, I like playing ball too. Like, and I like the fight game. So he's a lot like me. He has a podcast. You know, it's funny. Like Jemal Hill's a really cool dude, but he's going to sleep. He should have never took this fight. He should have never took it. I get it though. You want to be part of UFC 300. I get it. You want to go to the party. I get it, but.
Hey, man, maybe one day you guys will be friends. But moving on, though, we have the BMF battle. We have the BMF title on the line where the number two ranked Max Holloway fighting at 155 is taking on Justin Gaethje, who is a number two lightweight. Got that right. Max Holloway, the number two featherweight versus Justin Gaethje, the number two lightweight, battling out for the BMF championship. Dolo, who's going to be the champion after this match?
Well, I mean, I guess if you're a BMF, I guess it don't matter the weight, right? I mean, if you're the baddest MFer, I guess it doesn't matter what weight you fight at. So, I mean, if you ask me, that actually is a big factor in this, but whatever. Max Holloway is just one of those guys, man. Like, actually, a really, really interesting thing about Max Holloway is that in 30 MMA fights, his career, right, in UFC. Well, I don't know if they were all in UFC, but 30 MMA fights in his whole career in total. Never been knocked down.
Not knocked down once, huh?
In 30 fights, 30 sanctioned fights against professional killers, has never been knocked down in a fight. Doesn't mean he's never lost. You know, Conor McGregor beat him in a decision a long time ago. But, and Volk put him to sleep recently, you know, like a few fights ago, to be honest. Ooh. But Max Holloway's been around for a very long time. That's the thing. So like, this is more the twilight of his career. You know what I mean? And he's still fighting with the best of them. And yeah, never been knocked down in 30 fights. Max has the record for the most significant strikes thrown out of any fighter in the UFC with 3,197 strikes thrown. That includes, when I say strikes, that means punches, elbows, knees, kicks, any one of those four, basically. And I guess you could strike with, I mean, Conor McGregor struck Donald Cerrone with a shoulder. So I guess a shoulder could be used as a strike. But yeah, those four things, like, yeah, 3,000, basically 3,200 strikes. Like, that's a lot. You know, Bruce Lee said it, you know, not to interrupt you, Matt, I'm sorry. Bruce Lee gave us a great quote. I don't fear the man that knows 1,000 strikes. I fear the man that has practiced the same strike 1,000 times. It's Max Holloway. But oh, my bad. What were you saying? What would you want to ask me?
I was just saying, this guy seems like a real scrapper, and it seems maybe his keys of victory is just keep hitting the ice till it explodes, if you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I like that analogy. That's kind of how he fights, man. Max Holloway fights like he, you know, the guy that Aljamain Sterling is fighting on the card, his name's Calvin Kattar. Max Holloway fought Calvin Kattar before, and in the middle of the fight, you know, he's piecing up Calvin Kattar. He's doing like literally like Roy Jones Jr. type of boxing, and it was one of the best. It's one of my favorite moments in fighting. You know, when Max Holloway is in the middle of the octagon, Calvin Kattar's face is all bloodied up, and Max Holloway saying, "I'm the best boxer in the UFC. I'm the best boxer." Like in the middle of the fight, it's one of like just like a really like it gets it brings chills through your body. Like yeah, like this dude is a bad MF, bad MFer. So regardless, without the belt, he's that regardless. Even for taking a fight against somebody like Justin Gaethje at this weight class is crazy. But Max Holloway, yeah, he's a hell of a fighter. He, you know, he throws a really nasty spinning liver kick, you know, could put anybody down with that. He's really a boxer at heart. This fight will not be at the ground. No point in, you know, he's submitted some guys before, but like he's not a ground fighter. He's a guy that's gonna keep it on the feet. He's a Hawaiian. Those Samoan type guys, those are tough guys too. And we got some Samoan fans in the UFC too, so
Samoans,
yeah.
the wrestlers, fighters, and football players, huh?
Yo, they just have like their culture is kind of weird. I'm not gonna lie to the shoey. You ever seen the shoey? You know what that is?
Is that the chant, the war chant they do? Because that's pretty cool for
Oh, they
humans,
actually
if I'm
do
not
have a war
mistaken.
chant too. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. But no, the shoey is actually they do this thing in I guess Hawaiian or Samoan culture. They're take a somebody's shoe. They'll ask for your shoe, right? They'll take your shoe, you give it to them off your foot. They'll take your shoe, they'll take a beer, they'll pour the beer in the shoe and chug it.
The boot and rally. How about that?
Yeah, Tuivasa was a fighter that like brought that to the UFC. Like he made Joe Rogan do it. It was so disgusting. It was so horrible. Like such a nasty thing. I mean, I don't want to disrespect their culture. You know, I respect them a lot. Like, but they're hell of a fighters. Like they're just crazy fighters. Like you said, like they're just athletically and physically gifted people. You know, I respect their culture a lot. And that's what Max Holloway's cut from. He's cut from that cloth. But yeah, don't expect this one to go to the ground with Max Holloway. But to talk more about Justin Gaethje. So Justin Gaethje's like, you know, a regular American white guy, I guess. Not sure. I never heard a last name like Gaethje before. Maybe that's like French. Somebody in his family's French. I don't know. But you know, Justin Gaethje, gave you some cool stats on him. He actually knocked out the guy who's number one at lightweight right now. It was Dustin Poirier, who we saw fight recently and got that knockout over Saint Denis. Poirier's fighting for the title now, even though Justin Gaethje knocked out Poirier. And the reason for that is Justin Gaethje was kind of on the same thing with Jamal Hill, where he's like, you know, oh, like it's UFC 300, there's a slot open. Oh, it's for the BMF belt. Sure, I'll take it. But he took that deal. He took the deal to be on UFC 300 before Poirier got the title shot. So if I'm Justin Gaethje right now, I'm kind of tight. Because, like, dang, now I'm fighting for the BMF belt when I could have been fighting for the real title, which is cool. You know, BMF belt is cool. It's a belt, but it's not the main title.
Right.
So I would feel a little bit, I'd be kind of mad if I was Justin Gaethje right now. But what could, I guess the BMF belt would, you know, would ease his worries a little bit. He's a guy, right? He's like a wrestler. Predominantly like a boxer, kickboxer, wrestler kind of guy. He's not like a jiu-jitsu guy. He's not, because jiu-jitsu is almost like a defensive art when it gets to the ground. You could switch positions and put somebody in a chokehold, you know. Like, he's very proactive in his fighting. And any ground game he implements is to just basically set up some strikes or like to get on top and ground pound or something. But he's a guy that he's famous for his leg kick. I know Alex Pérez is kind of similar to that, but Justin Gaethje's no kickboxer. I wouldn't really call him a kickboxer. He's just gifted at you know certain strikes, and the leg kick, the sweeping leg kick, is one of his like famous ones. He's thrown them like 50 times in a fight before. It's crazy. He's a guy that comes forward. He likes to shell up and come forward and really just like he'll take some shots and get inside your space so that he could just land a really hard counter. He almost brings like a Mexican kind of style to MMA. Another guy that's scrappy. He has that same spirit as Max Holloway, where they're like, come on, in the middle of a fight, they'll be like, come on. Come on, bring it. Let's go. Like really, like one of those guys that gets your blood pumping, you know. Justin Gaethje's a monster, man. He should be fighting for the title. He's so good, he shouldn't even be fighting Max Holloway that's coming from featherweight. But it is what it is, you know. It's still a really, really good fight. And to be honest with you, like I see Justin Gaethje taking this. I see
Okay.
Justin Gaethje taking it, and I'll tell you why. It basically, the weight discrepancy, maybe some people aren't looking at it as such a big thing because Max Holloway had fought Poirier in, I guess, like the past year or two, before Poirier got knocked out by Gaethje in the rematch. And yeah, like Poirier's at lightweight, and I guess Max Holloway's entering lightweight, so you know maybe he's gonna stick around at lightweight after this. Who knows? But he went all 5 rounds with Poirier at lightweight. So you know it says good things about him. But Poirier is not exactly the same fighter as Gaethje. Whereas Poirier has a lot of volume, and yes, he has technique and he's good at boxing. And Gaethje doesn't have as much volume. But when he lands hard, and he throws counters really quick and really sneaky. You think that you'll have Justin Gaethje hurt, and then he'll just land a bomb on you, and then it's over. Like Justin Gaethje is one of those really, he's a really good fighter. But yeah, the weight discrepancy is too much. Justin Gaethje is a little bit more talented at like you know going for shoots and one legs, and he has a little bit more of a ground game than I think Max Holloway does. Poirier described Justin Gaethje as someone that's like thick boned, somebody that's thick boned, and that doesn't really suit well for Max Holloway, who's clearly not thick boned at all. He's like a skeleton. But you know, Justin Gaethje's actually he's before he went to the UFC, there's actually footage of him I know you know more wrestling moves than I do, like pro wrestling moves, but he literally like he got a knockout by power bombing somebody. Like literally scooped somebody up over his head, slammed him on the ring canvas, and I guess the guy got knocked out that way. Like they
Shoot.
Justin, yeah, Gaethje's like a
Crazy
mini
he was
Hulk.
able to get him through that in the time he did to throw him down, you know, because again, the thing that helps wrestling become a performance, a predetermined is getting an opponent to actually do that. And it's hard to get somebody. Obviously, if you're in a fight, a choreographed fight, it's easier to put an actual move on someone. You're telling me in an actual fight, he was somehow able to get him in the position to do a power bomb without, you know, so much resilience to that and, you know, threw him down like a pack of ice.
Oh man, I'll show you the clip like probably later on. But yeah, he actually power bombed a guy twice in that. He power bombed him twice in that same fight. It was a second power bomb that knocked him out. So that just gives you an example of how explosive and like aggressive Justin Gaethje fights. And Max Holloway is gonna get exactly what he ordered. I believe Justin Gaethje has a BMF belt right now. I believe so. I could be wrong, or it's vacant. Either way, it's been vacant ever since Masvidal retired anyway. But Yeah, Justin Gaethje's going to take this one. It's going to be a really good fight. This is going to be really good for as long as it lasts. But I could see if we're going for a prop bet, I could see Max Holloway's
By the way,
corner.
Gaethje has the title right now. He's the
Yes.
defending champion.
Gaethje has the BMF title, yes. And just to be clear, the BMF title is not like the world title. It's just a really cool belt to have. It just shows that you're a
Yeah.
badass. I could see Max Holloway's corner stopping the fight in the third round. I don't, you know, Max Holloway's never been knocked down in his whole career. And he very easily could get knocked down by Justin Gaethje's leg kicks, because Max Holloway will be coming forward, landing shots on him, and, you know, cutting the ring off. You know, Max Holloway is good at cutting the ring off. What that means is basically, if someone's like fighting you and they're trying to like move to the side, you
Yeah.
move to the side with them. Like, they cha-cha slide, you cha-cha slide with them. And cutting the ring off is a way to make the space in the ring and octagon a lot smaller. You know, for somebody that, for example, someone like Floyd Mayweather, if he fought someone that was like a good, that cut the ring good, like Pacquiao, like, you know, like somebody that cuts the ring off good, like, it's the answer to footwork. It's that answer to footwork. Somebody that's like more elusive, more springy on their feet. Just move left, move lateral, cut them off, meet them where they're going. You know, it's like in the Marines, how they say, like, you aim your shot, like you lead your shot or something like that. It's something like that. But yeah, Justin Gaethje is gonna have some trouble there, and it's gonna make for a good fight. But Gaethje's too strong, too aggressive. Max Holloway is not used to 155. It's gonna be blood. It's gonna be blood. I guess was controversial, but I guess it's controversial, but I don't see Max Holloway getting out of the third round, out of his corner in the third round. I think his trainers are gonna stop it, and that's how I see that fight ending, seriously. But if you want to play it safe, just bet the money line. We can check the odds on that too while I'm here.
Why don't we
So,
actually just move on just for timing purposes?
oh yeah.
But we have a lightweight battle, excuse me. We have a big lightweight battle. Charles Oliveira, the number one ranked lightweight in the UFC, taking on Arman Tsarukyan, the number four ranked lightweight in the division. Big battle between two veterans, am I right? Tell me what's going to happen with this match.
I wouldn't say Armand Sarukian's a veteran. He's like nine fights into the UFC. I'd say about nine fights into the UFC, but his record is obviously more than that. Charles Oliveira, I would consider him a young veteran. He's and his Charles Oliveira, right? He's had 34 wins, 34 victories. 31 of those victories have been by finish. So that's either a submission or a knockout. And, like, yeah, man. Like, and what makes it even more interesting is that Armand Sarukian hasn't been finished in 9 years. So this is like an unstoppable force meeting an immovable object kind of thing. And, you know, Armand Sarukian's ranked number four at lightweight. This is another lightweight fight, ranked number four. Oliveira's ranked number one. And oh, I said Gaethje was ranked number one before. Gaethje's actually ranked number two, and Oliveira is ranked number one. Only reason Oliveira is not fighting Islam is because he lost before to him. So, yeah, Charles Oliveira is my favorite fighter. He's one of my favorite fighters. Like, he's a Brazilian dude. Like, he's got like a boxing jiu-jitsu kind of mix to him, and really strong right hand. Very, very talented with the jiu-jitsu. And yeah.
Keep going.
Oh, my bad, my bad. Okay, cool. Yeah, Charles Oliveira, like, he's in his last 15 victories, 14 of them have been finishes. So this is a guy that's really strong. A guy that when it goes to the ground, Armand Sarukian's, I don't think he's gonna be able to compete, but we'll get to that. And yeah, Charles Oliveira is a dog, man. He's a dog. I'm glad he was able to get a spot in a UFC 300. It's really cool to see him fight a UFC 300. But Armand Sarukian, he's a up and coming fighter, so this is a good fight. You know, he's ranked number four. Oliveira is number one, and yeah, this is gonna be a good fight, man. Because you know, like I've said on this show before about Charles Oliveira, is that you know he's a guy that would take it and then bring it back to you. He's really his fights are like drama shows, where you think Oliveira's done and then he's not. He comes back and does something crazy, and yeah, like it almost never fails. It almost
you
never
feel this
fails.
Would be a significant upset if Oliveira takes this loss?
See, you already know where I'm leading with this. You already know where I'm leading with this. Yeah, like Armin Sarukian, if he beats Oliveira, it would be quite an upset. Armin Sarukian, he himself, I'd call him like a, he's like if Colby Covington and Cody Garbrandt did the fusion dance, like fusion, ha, like he would.
Yeah, from Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. Akira Toriyama, RIP. Yeah, Armand Sarukian, he's an Armenian Russian. Everybody knows how tough Russians are. If you know like wrestling, the wrestling scene, and boxing scenes and like just fighting in general, these Russian dudes do not play when it comes to this game, man. They do not play. So he's coming to win. Armand Sarukian is coming to win. And he was actually talking some crap about Charles Oliveira before, but yeah, Armand Sarukian, he's a guy that like he's a striker just in general, just a very explosive striker. And if he gets into the ground, yeah, he's been able to do like, you know, chokes before, but like he's a guy that's trying to get on top of you and ground pound you and really just dominate you that way. So Armand Sarukian is a young guy that's coming up in the rankings and he's hungry. You know, that's one thing that I think is gonna make this a good fight. Like Dana White did a great job at putting these fights, like he knew that regardless of what people's opinions were, these were going to be bangers, and this one's going to be a banger. But the only problem with Armand Sarukian is that he doesn't have the ground game, or the experience, or I believe even like the IQ that Oliveira has. You know,
really?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Oliveira, he's a young guy, but he's had a hell of a lot of fights in the UFC. He has some like cool statistic too. He actually holds the record for the most finishes in the UFC with 20 finishes. He has 20 finishes in the UFC. So that's the record right there. The thing is, I believe that, you know, with Armand Sarukian's style, he's going to make it like the first round or two is going to be real back and forth. You know, Charles Oliveira is known for taking some hits and getting dropped and looking like he's about to get, you know, put away or choked out. Yeah, he's a drama. Yeah, like he's what Triple G would call a drama show. But the thing is, if it gets to the ground where I feel like Sarukian wants it to go, he's going to want it to go there so that he could just put his best on him, you know, the ground and pound, or just where he can go nowhere, like, and just put him away and get the victory. But the problem is, Oliveira is going to get on the ground. And with these jiu-jitsu guys, these guys are like cobras. These guys are like snakes. Like they could just wiggle and slither their way around you, and then all of a sudden, then before you know it, you get choked out like Justin Gaethje did, you know, when he fought Charles Oliveira. So and a funny thing about that,
wind up on the other side of that.
No. Justin Gaethje actually said before that Charles Oliveira, before their fight, he was like, Charles Oliveira is not gonna choke me out. I don't quit. I don't tap out. That's like a jiu-jitsu thing. They have a real pride about not tapping out. And it's like the stupidest thing. You know, I respect jiu-jitsu, but it's like, come on, bro. Like, if you're going to go to, don't go to sleep on purpose. Like, just swallow your pride and tap out, you know. But either way, Oliveira is going to get Armand Sarukian, in my opinion. I feel like I could see in the third round, you know, after a hellish first two rounds, I could see Oliveira wrapping him up on the ground. I can see him wrapping him up on the ground and, you know, teaching this youngin' something new, you know? And yeah, I got Oliveira for the win there, not just because he's my favorite fighter, but because he's a hell of a fighter. And Armand Sarukian is just too green. He's too green right now. So that's how that's going to go. Prop bet, third round submission, or just Oliveira by submission.
I bet Oliveira by submission. We will keep that in mind. And some of the extra fights that are taking place on the card that's worth discussing. Sorry, that's worth discussing. Why don't we first talk about Zhang Weili versus Yan Jianan, the battle between the two strong women, both from the country of China. Zhang versus Yan. Tell me what's going on. I guess rhyme intended.
Yeah, right. That did rhyme. Like, honestly, you know, I'm obviously not going to get political or nothing, but it's going to be interesting if, like, if Trump is in the building and then these two are like, and then the Chinese national anthem is playing, are people going to boo? Like, is Sean Strickland going to, like, I'm just kidding. I'm just kind of kidding, honestly, but like, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Cause I think last time Zhang Weili was out there, I think every time she goes out there, she, like, people from her country, like, come and support big time. So it's gonna be
a big deal.
You're gonna see, Zhang Weili's a big deal, and she's one of my she's not my favorite MMA fighter, women's MMA fighter, but she's one of them. Yan Jianan is a girl that's coming up in the game. Like, she's not as I guess talented as Zhang Weili is. Zhang Weili is like a little firecracker. Like, she's, you know, she's the type to throw head kicks like
Ooh.
Jabs. She could throw, like, the way I just could throw this arm out, that's how she's throwing out a kick. Like, really, really tough fighter. Like, and spars with men, you know, she's a real deal. Zhang Weili's a hell of a fighter. She's had legendary fights with Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Oh.
She's had, you know, legendary fights with Rose Namajunas, like, two of them actually. But yeah, like, Zhang Weili's one of the women's goats, to be honest with you. And Yan Jianan is not quite there. But it's interesting that they're both from the same country and they're both women. So that's another thing of UFC 300. That's another big thing. Yes, UFC 200 had Misha Tate fighting Amanda Nunes, and Amanda Nunes being the one that, like, retired Ronda Rousey ultimately.
Yeah.
But this is a little different because this is like another country thing. This is like two women from another country. So this is like showing, you know, love to the women and showing love, you know, across seas. Like, it's this fight in general just shows how far the UFC has come. And I mean, aside from what it means or what it represents, because that's a big deal in itself, but the fight itself is going to be awesome. Like, Yan Jianan is a good boxer. Like, she's a good boxer. She's a good striker. She has a decent game all around, to be honest. And Zhang Weili is probably the top three best women strikers ever. So I don't really know how it's gonna go, but I did want to mention the importance of this fight and what it means to the company, what it means to the brand, and what it means to the fans. But if you were to, like, force me to pick, I mean, I Yan Jianan has the reach. I think she's coming up in the game. Zhang Weili's had a little bit of mileage on her. And as good as I just talked about her right now, you know, I this could be something that's like, it's Yan Jianan's time. I think she studies her opponents a lot, you know, off season when she's not, you know, or when she's in training camp and stuff. Like, she beat Jessica Andrade. So Jessica Andrade,
you're saying,
is
she's one of the most prepared in this.
Yes. Yes. I think she's more hungry. Zhang Weili is basically, she did it. Zhang Weili did it. If you're a women's MMA fighter, you did it. You hit the pinnacle. Yan Jianan's still hungry. And I think she's gonna want to prove something like she did against Jessica Andrade. And yeah, I see Yan Jianan getting this victory, but ultimately it just means so much for, like, the growth of the sport and the evolution of the sport. That's really the big thing to take away from this fight. It's going to be a good one.
I feel that. And moving on to some other one of these bouts, we have Divizion Figueiredo and Cody Garvin. Or why don't you just announce this?
No, you're good.
Divizion Figueiredo and Cody Garbrander.
Close enough, but I'll tweak it a little bit for you. Like, it's spelled really weird, but it's literally just Davison. It's spelled weird, but it said Davison. Yeah, it's I think he's Brazilian.
A lot of Brazilians on this card, I see.
Brazilians. Yeah, they're in the house too. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, there actually is a good amount of them. Because Padilla himself is Brazilian, but Davison Figueiredo is an awesome fighter, man. Like he, if you see him, he has like a red kind of hair dye streak across his head. And one of his nicknames is the God of War, because Kratos, see, what people don't know is that me and Matt talk a lot, and we share a lot among us,
That's
and
right.
I'm a big
My
God of War
guy.
fan. Oh, absolutely, you're my brother. I'm a big God of War fan. He knows that, so I've sent him videos of Kratos and cut scenes from the video games and like
That meme of him jumping into a pool is hilarious.
Yeah, man. And Davison Figueiredo has that Kratos, thing going on. I believe it's because he's a fan. I never really got to the bottom of the origin of why he paints his hair red in that little section of his head. Either way, God of War, Kratos reference, I can dig it. And he fights like Conor McGregor. He has like a karate stance. Karate guys fight like a on guard. Like you see those what's that sport called with the javelin? Like, where they have the swords that go on guard. Like, you know what I'm talking
Fencing.
about? Fencing, yes. He fights like a fencer. Like, his stance
Hit.
is like a fencer. And on a quick note right there, that's something that a lot of fighters do. They'll look into history and look at like soldiers from the past and warriors from the past and copy little things. Like, there's a boxer named Teofimo Lopez that copied like a Spartan thing where he
Right.
blocks, yeah, like. Like it's one of those, like I can go into it forever, but Figueiredo has like a karate stance, and he's a really good counter fighter, really good counter puncher, and really exciting fighter. He's good everywhere, really good at jujitsu, and he's coming to fight. The thing about Cody Garbrandt too, and I'm gonna get to Cody Garbrandt, but. The thing that both of these fighters have in common is that they're at a crossroads, and UFC 300 was like a perfect event for them to come at a crossroads, like because they both had belts before, they're both aggressive guys, they've both they both are trying to get back into the spotlight, and it's gonna be some fireworks here too. Like Cody Garbrandt is a guy, like he fought TJ Dillashaw before. He had like one of the best performances ever in UFC when he fought Dominic Cruz, and yeah, Cody Garbrandt's a really good guy. He's a really good fighter, really explosive, mostly a boxer, but he'll wrestle with you, but he's not big on wrestling. He's a guy that's trying to knock you out with the hands, which is something I can respect, almost kind of explosive like Zhang Weili, to be honest. It's kind of funny I'm comparing him to Zhang Weili, but like they're explosive in that sense where where they're coming forward with their strikes and trying to put you out, and like a, see, yeah, it's cool to see them two at a crossroads. But Cody Garbrandt's too chinny. When you say chinny in fighting, that means like you don't take punches very well. So like you can, if you're chinny, if someone calls you chinny, that means you got a glass jaw. Like you could probably get knocked out real easy. So that's gonna be the problem here. Cody Garbrandt has got a bit of a glass jaw, to be honest.
Okay.
And you could go, there's you can go for hours on theories of what gives somebody a good chin or not. It's another discussion. But yeah, Davison Figueiredo is not as chinny, and he's also more talented in other areas of the fight game, because when you're in MMA, you got to expect, like they say in boxing, when you hop in the shower, you got to expect to get wet. When you're in MMA, you got to expect it to at some point get to the ground. You're gonna meet a wrestler from Russia that's been wrestling bears since he was a child. You're gonna meet a Brazilian kid that's been doing jiu-jitsu since he was like 7 years old. You're probably gonna meet a Muay Thai fighter that's been kicking trees with his bare legs since he was like five. The UFC is global now. The UFC is global now. Cody Garbrandt is fighting a guy that's more skilled, more better all around game, and this one could probably go to distance. But I got Davison Figueiredo, and again, not a bias because I'm a God of War fan, but he's just a better fighter in this one, and it's another good fight. That this is one of the better low key fights that Dana White put on his card. I'm looking forward to this one a lot. I got Davison Figueiredo winning.
Great stuff. And the last match to discuss for today, Aljamain Sterling is taking on Calvin Kattar. Talk to me about the featherweight bout in this one.
Yeah, Aljamain Sterling, Funkmaster. Yeah, the Funkmaster, man. Like he had the belt before Sean O'Malley. You know, I talked about him a lot on one of the episodes I did like following up the one we did. Yeah, I've previously talked about him on this podcast. A guy that's like, you know, a lot of people don't like him, but he was one of the better title holders at bantamweight. He really was. He beat Petr Yan, he beat Henry Cejudo, he beat TJ Dillashaw. You know, it's like three solid fighters right there, you know. And then before that he was beating good fighters. So yeah, it's cool to see Aljamain there. Just a really good fighter, really good Jamaican dude. I think he's from New Jersey too. So, you know, it's a cool thing right there. Or he's at least from the East Coast for sure. Oh, one thing. All right, I forgot to say, Alex Pereira lives in Bethel. I don't know if you knew that.
Bethel, Connecticut, does he really?
Yeah.
Smart
I
man.
didn't mention that before. Cause when they announce his fights, they go, from Brazil, but fighting out of Bethel, Connecticut is funny. But yeah, Aljamain's an East Coast guy. And the guy he's fighting is Calvin Kattar. Just a really good guy, one of the better boxers in the UFC. When he fought Max Holloway, you know, Max Holloway proved to be a little bit better than him, but that's Max Holloway. And that's no really shame in, you know, losing to him. But it's another banger. Another banger, man. This card is full of bangers, and this is another one. I see Aljamain wants to get the title back, but Calvin Kattar is hungry. He's good on the feet. You know, he's good with the strikes. Very good boxer. I could see him putting it on Aljamain, to be honest. And dang, I don't want to go against Aljamain because I think he's more talented than Calvin Kattar. But I think, you know, we just saw Aljamain get knocked out pretty easy by Sean O'Malley. And if Calvin Kattar is half the boxer that we know him as, then I think he'll get into a position to land some really good shots on him too. So I'm going with the upset that I'm kind of not even too iffy on. That's why I didn't make it one of my main predictions. I'm a little iffy on this fight. But yeah, I'd like to see Calvin Kattar take it. You know, I'm a boxing fan, so I got to take the boxer in this one, man. I got to take the boxer. So that's another fight to look forward to all everyone that's going to watch the card. Yeah, look forward to that fight and a Cody Garbrandt and Davison Figueiredo fight as well.
Oh, man. Dolo knows what's good as always, bro. Listen, Dolo, I think we really hit the nail on the head with this. But do you have any final thoughts you want to give on UFC 300? I understand the card is a bit underwhelming for what it can be, especially for this type of anniversary. But it's still a big deal. They're taking place in Vegas. The sport's growing. There's some big rumors coming up in the future. Where are we going with this? And how do you feel about the card ultimately after breaking it down and seeing the future of the promotion?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the rumor thing too, because there's a rumor, right, that after the Gaethje and Max Holloway fight, whatever the outcome of that is, regardless of the outcome, after that fight, which is, I believe, the co-main event, they're going to show a preview. The rumor is that they're going to show a preview of Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler. Ooh. And Conor McGregor's return, man. And probably some other fights that they've probably kept under wraps. I have no idea. But that's like the big rumor right there, that they're going to promote Conor McGregor's return at UFC 300. Yeah, that's going to be a cool thing. Yeah, like it's easy to get kind of long-winded with this kind of stuff because there's so much history behind these kind of events when it comes to UFC. It could be a dud. It could be a dud, but I don't think so. The way it's set up, I could see what Dana White did. He set this up to where, like, no matter what happens, there's fireworks. And the original UFC card for 300 was supposed to be it was supposed to be Conor McGregor versus Chandler. It was supposed to be Adesanya versus Padilla, which would have been awesome. That would have been the third fight. That would have been so awesome. But it's okay. What else, man? And you showed it before too. I think you showed it on the screen before too. But there was just so many other fights. I can't even remember. Nate Diaz was supposed to come back. Nick Diaz was supposed to come back as well. Israel Adesanya. No. Islam Makhachev was supposed to fight Leon Edwards, for Leon Edwards' strap at welterweight. That would have been insane. That would have been really crazy. But somebody's just gonna happen. Conor McGregor is in the middle of filming Roadhouse. He couldn't do it because of Roadhouse. Adesanya didn't fight because Dricus du Plessis said no, because Dricus du Plessis got kind of beat up last time he fought. He needs to recover still, to be real. Sean Strickland could have been in this card. That'd have been awesome to see. And then John Jones, well, we talked about John Jones. He was if man, what Dana White had rumoredly planned before we got the official card that we got now was gonna be probably the greatest card ever in history. If John Jones, that would have been like the icing on the cake to see him fight. But John Jones did a great job at reminding us all how horrible he is as a human being. So kind of better that he didn't taint this event with his presence. Man, I hope it's one of the pay-per-views. I'm buying this pay-per-view, and I don't buy a lot of pay-per-views, so that should say a lot. I think this is something, if you're a new MMA fan, if you're new to the sport, you gotta watch this. If you're new to the sport, you have to watch this event. And regardless, it's gonna be a lot of fireworks. There's gonna be some blood and knockouts, so that's all we could really ask for. And I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm looking forward to it
Although
overall.
it's going to be real special, bro, and we're going to take every step of the way to enjoy it. But you killed it as always. Great job breaking it down for us. Check out Dolo's other channel at Dolo Ren on YouTube. That's correct, right?
Yeah, Dolo ran a YouTube. Yep.
At Dolo Ren for more exclusive content with all UFC, boxing, and all MMA. And keep checking him out on here for productive conversations, as he's an important part as one of the other producers here. But great work, Dolo. Let's enjoy UFC 300. Let's see where this goes. Let's definitely check back in very, very soon, especially when we have a hotter card too.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And don't make any mistake, this is gonna be a hell of a card too. But yeah, there's a lot more in the future for UFC, especially with the merger with TKO, like you mentioned. Roman, what's up, man? Brock did it. Brock did it. What's up, Roman? Come on.
The tribal
Cody?
chief. You think they got the skills?
Bro, you know me. I don't watch a lot of pro wrestling or any at all. But if Roman Reigns came to the UFC, I'm fully supporting that. I want to see him. Hey, Brock Lesnar won a belt. Brock
Yeah,
Lesnar won a
right.
belt. So it's not impossible. You can come over here and do something. Let's get it. Come
Speaking
on.
into existence, we acknowledge a tribal chief to become
That'd
a dual threat, if you will, but
be awesome.
looking forward to it, Dolo. You're the man, and we're going to see you really, really soon. Check out Dolo Ren at Dolo Ren on all social media platforms.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you can expect more video essays. Oh, sorry. You can expect more video essays on the Productive Conversations podcast too. I got some more heat coming for everyone, so more people to get at. I'm probably gonna make a video like in support of Floyd Mayweather, since I kind of badmouthed them in the other video. And thank you for the support on that video, everyone that watched that and commented. Thank you for it. Thank you very much for it. Like, we're very grateful for it. And it's always a good time with you, Matt. And we're always gonna be in cahoots, man. I'm always, we're always gonna give them content like how we usually do.
Amen to that. All right, Dolo, we'll see you soon. Enjoy UFC 300 this Saturday on all pay-per-view platforms. Peace.